This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we read from verse number 47 of Surah Al-Dhariyat. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Was-samaa'a banaynaaha bi-aydin wa inna lamusi'un. وَالْأَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ وَمِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ مِنْهُ نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ إِنِّي لَكُمْ مِنْهُ نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ كذلك ما أتى الذين من قبلهم من رسول إلا قالوا ساحر أو مجنون أتواصوا به بل هم قوم طاغون فتول عنهم فما أنت بملوم وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين فإن للذين ظلموا ذنوبا مثل ذنوب أصحابهم فلا يستعجلون فويل للذين كفروا من يومهم الذي يوعدون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والطور وكتاب مسطور في رق منشور والبيت المعمور والسقف المرفوع والبحر المسجور إن عذاب ربك لواقع ما له من دافع يوم تمور السماء مورا وتسير الجبال سيرا فويل يومئذ للمكذبين الذين هم في خوض يلعبون يوم يدعون إلى نار جهنم دعا هذه النار التي كنتم بها تكذبون أفسحر هذا أم أنتم لا تبصرون اصلوها فاصبروا أو لا تصبروا سواء عليكم إنما تجزون ما كنتم تعملون إن المتقين في جنات ونعيم فاكهين بما آتاهم ربهم ووقاهم ربهم عذاب الجحيم كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما كنتم تعملون متكئين على سرر مصفوفة وزوجناهم بحور عين بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him upon all conditions and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless every single one of us, to send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. May Allah bless them all. Ameen. My mothers and sisters, these beautiful verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the creation of the heavens and the earth and then explains that we are all to be worshipping Allah because He is the creator. Whoever made you deserves that you worship Him and Him alone. Whoever created you deserves that you worship Him alone. Whoever you are going to return to obviously deserves that you worship Him alone. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, verse number 48 of Surah Al-Dhariyat, Allah says, and the earth, or should I say, verse number 47 of Surah Al-Dhariyat, and the heaven we constructed with strength. And indeed, we are its expander. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who constructed the heavens. This I've just read from the Sahih International Translation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have created the heavens And this is Allah telling us He is the one who made, He is the one who created. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of how He created it with His own hands, and at the same time He created it in such a beautiful way, and at the same time He has expanded it in a way that is mind-boggling completely. If you look at the skies, you will not understand what's going on. To be honest, we can only see to a certain point, even with our telescopes and our space shuttles and everything else. Beyond that, we don't even know what there is and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is with power did we, or with power did we construct the heaven? Verily, we are able to extend the vastness of space thereof. That's a different translation. That's the noble Quran translation. So you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making mention of His power, and how He makes mention of the fact that He definitely has spread and spaced out the sky and the space. For you and me, it is space. For Allah, it is a creature of Allah. What you see in front of you right now is not an empty gap. For you and me, it's an empty gap. It's actually oxygen, O2, and made up perhaps of other gases. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us understand. When we say this is empty, it's actually empty for you and me because we can't see anything there. There could be so many of the creatures of the unseen in that particular space. We call it space. But for Allah, it's a creature of Allah. What is the creature? It is atmosphere, it is oxygen, it is something inside this air that's between you and me right now. There is air. I can move my hand, but that's not just empty space for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is something there. You know, not only angels or jinn kind or anything of that nature, but even the air itself is a creature of Allah. So let's remember this because it's very, very deep. When we say everywhere, the term where is actually understood differently by different people. Because if you say, for example, that this is a blank space, for you and me, like I said, it is blank. For Allah, it's not a blank space. It's one of His creatures, and He determines exactly what type of creature will fill what we think is a gap. Because, you know, sometimes you can breathe carbon monoxide, you can breathe gases that might kill you, actually. And sometimes it can be something very, very detrimental and dangerous for us. And sometimes it's pure oxygen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. So then Allah says, and the earth we have spread out, and excellent is the preparer. The one who did it is absolutely perfect. Allah spread out the earth in such a unique way. The earth is round, as we know, but it's spread out. It's spaced completely. And Allah placed on it the hills and all the other different landforms and so on. All this is in order to hold it together and for the beautification of it, so that man is not bored with monotony. This is something interesting, because if Allah wanted monotony and create monotony, He would have created every one of us looking exactly the same. There would have been no difference in color, size, shape, and so on. In fact, our voices are very different. Some have a squeaky voice, and some have a hoarse voice. Some might have a general, common, voice. You have a masculine and a feminine voice. This is all part of Allah's creation, and this is why if you have a male with a female's voice, you know, you might get a bit irritated. But if you have a female with a male's voice, you get even more irritated, perhaps. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand the uniqueness that He has created us by, and may He grant us the ability to be from among those who appreciate this. So He tells us, I made the skies, I made the earth, and I want to tell you what I deserve, or what you have to do in return. So Allah says, وَالْأَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ. Then He says, above that, all things we created in pairs. Perhaps you will remember, to make it interesting, reproduction did not have to be with pairs. Allah made it that way. If Allah wanted, He could have caused it to happen in a different way. But Allah says, all things, we created them in pairs. You have positive, you have negative. You have up, you have down. You have right, you have left. You have, you know, the front, you have the back. You have male, you have female. You in everything. And Allah says, this is in order that you ponder. We created you in pairs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. And you know, it is true that Allah has decreed and decided who your spouse will be, and this is on a different note altogether. But at the same time, it is also decreed perhaps that people were going to be foolish and not hunt and not look, so they will remain single. May Allah forgive us. So remember, you need to fulfill your role as a human being, to look, to hunt, to make the effort, to talk, to open your mouth, to make sure you've tried. And then inshallah, what was meant to come to pass will come to pass. But if we just blame taqdeer, you need to know Allah's kept it so unique that I don't know what the future holds for me. But Allah knows. The fact that Allah knows what the future holds for me does not mean I need to sit back, relax, and forget about making an effort. Because part of Allah's plan, He says, make an effort, and then you'll achieve whatever I have decided you're going to achieve. But if you don't make an effort, you are to blame for not having achieved things. And I would already have written that you were going to be stupid and sit back depressed. May Allah forgive us. My mothers and sisters, a lot of this needs to be addressed also to the men folk, because sometimes they have women under their authority, or daughters or sisters or whoever else it may be, and they make no effort to get them married or to try and sort their matters out and problems and issues, and definitely the fault is theirs as people who are in authority. Similarly, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us make decisions and choices, because sometimes in life we do know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed obstacles within our path in order for us to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will have to rise to the challenge within the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not live in an oppressive situation forever and ever claiming this was my taqdeer. No, you will have to at some stage do something about it. Address the matter, come out of that oppression perhaps as best as you can, because that's part of Allah's plan. The requirement of you is to take yourself out of this oppression and depression. We ask Allah to help us. You would need the assistance perhaps of those who live around you or with you, those who are in authority of you generally, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that easy. Ameen. So Allah says, we've created you in pairs, perhaps you will remember. Then He says, now after mentioning these three points, one is we created the skies, secondly we created the earth, and thirdly, we created you and all other creatures in pairs. So now, we want you to flee to Allah. Flee, run towards Allah. Rush to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fafirru ila Allah. What a beautiful term Allah is using. He says, so flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verse number 50. Rush to Allah. Make haste to Allah. Go to Allah. Turn to Allah. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In whatever you are facing in life. Firstly, your obligations unto Allah. Run to Allah. When haram is meant to be done, run towards Allah, not towards the haram, not towards shaitan. And at the same time, when you have a problem as well, rush to Allah, run to Allah, face Allah, go and seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Him, read dua, salah, whatever else it is, pray to Him, make sure that you've achieved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us earn closeness. Look at how beautifully He tells us, hey, I made you, I made the skies, I made the earth, so flee to Allah. Indeed, I am to you from Him a clear warner. Who is this? This is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's saying, I come from Allah, I'm sent from Allah to you as a clear warner. I'm warning you. Now these verses, if you notice, I continued into the next surah because there is a warning of hellfire, burning, scorching, very, very harmful, hurting hellfire. There is a severe warning. So I continued reading until I got to verses of heaven, because we want to end on a good note, inshallah. But let's listen to all these bubbling people who will be boiling in Jahannam. It's important for us to just listen to it, because it wakes us up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am a clear warner. This is referring to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From Allah to you, to all of us. Allah says, and do not make as equal with Allah another deity. Indeed, I am to you from Him a clear warner. Here He's telling us the second time that I'm warning you. Imagine Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam come to us and tell us, I'm warning you. I'm giving you a warning. Allahu Akbar. Your school teacher had to tell you that, you probably would pee in your pants. May Allah forgive us. I'm giving you a warning. I'm warning you. Your mom and dad had to tell you that, I think you tell them, I'm warning you back. Nowadays, that's what the children would say. But Allah is telling us through Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm warning you. And we still don't bat an eyelid. I've got no intention to quit my bad, the evil, to throw away things that are evil and bad. I got no intention to start reading 5 salah a day. I've got no intention to dress appropriately, nothing. Because the warning of Allah is, by the way, it's just a recitation of a verse of the Quran and it means nothing. Astaghfirullah. Is that the case? Not with us. Not with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us. May He make us from those who understand and realize. So Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is verse number 52. Similarly, there came not to those before them any messenger except that they said, a magician or a madman. Whenever a messenger came, whether it was Jesus, Moses, Aaron, David, whoever else it was, Suleiman, anyone else, what did they say? They said he's a madman or he's a magician. Halas, that's it. So when people don't want to listen to the truth, they just say, that guy is crazy, man. He's mad. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You tell them what's right and what's wrong. You teach them morality. You teach them decency. You teach them how to be straight and upright. They tell you, this guy is crazy. He doesn't know. Astaghfirullah. So Allah is telling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will call you a madman and they will call you a magician. And they have, don't worry, anyone and everyone who's come before you to warn them, they use the same derogatory terminology to refer to them. My mothers and sisters, a question I have for myself and yourselves, when people warn us, when people tell us the truth, when people tell us what's right and wrong, when people tell us about earning Jannah and about staying away from Jahannam, don't we sometimes refer to them as, this guy's crazy, man, you know? I hope not. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand and realize we admit our weakness. When people correct us and they are right, just nod your head. And if you're too proud to nod your head, at least in your heart, just feel, you know what, the guy is right. Even if you tell them, hey, keep quiet. But in your mind, you know, he's right, you know. That's a good way of doing things as a starting point. Admit that you're at fault. Admit that you need to improve. And admit that yes, this person is correct. However, when we are correcting others, let's do so in a beautiful way. Let's try and choose the most effective method. Let's try and make them feel that, you know what, we're all in one boat. We all have so much to improve. I might be raising 2 or 3 points that you need to rectify, and perhaps there might be 20 or 30 points that I need to rectify. So the minute you talk in this manner, you make people feel that, you know what, we're all in the struggle. And yes, we are. We actually all are. Perhaps we need different things to rectify in our lives. But we cannot simply pinpoint at someone and tell them, you know what, you're the bad person, I'm the good person. No, you might be bad in one thing. I might be bad in another 20 things that you don't know about. May Allah forgive us. So we need to actually improve collectively in all our different weaknesses that we may have. The weaknesses I have, perhaps you don't have the same weaknesses, and vice versa. So this is why we say, let's not call the people mad or crazy. Let's try and understand that when we are corrected, we will take the correction. And when we correct, we will correct in the best possible manner. Then Allah says, Did they suggest it to them? Rather, they themselves are a transgressing people. They themselves are a transgressing people. Which means, did the former disbelievers pass on these words to the Meccan people? When the previous people used to call their prophets madmen and magicians, the way the Meccans said the same, it seemed like they graduated from the same school. It seems like someone came down and told them, you know what, just use the same terminology. So Allah says, did they teach them? Did they suggest it to them? That you need to use this terminology to refer to those who correct you. Allah says, rather, they themselves are a transgressing people. They are wrong. They are sinful. Then Allah says, so leave them, O Muhammad, for you are not to be blamed. That's such a beautiful verse. I want to take a lesson. We know what it means, right? We just read the meaning of it. Allah is telling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leave them. Ignore that statement of theirs. In my life and in yours, people call us crazy things. They believe that we are sometimes what we are not in terms of evil and bad. People believe you're a terrible person. You're not going to change that in a rush. Sometimes you won't be able to change it at all because the people talking bad about you don't even know you. They haven't even breathed the same air that you have, let alone see your face in real life. And they say the weirdest things about you. Don't worry. They did it to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the most loved ever to Allah, the best of creation. So it shows that there is something special about you that Allah loves, and Allah knows you're higher and you're very high. So ignore them. That's the way. If you don't ignore them, you will have sleeping pills at night and you still won't go to sleep. Don't worry. People will, if you're a decent person, there has to be people saying bad about you. There was a point in my life when one of the sheikhs told me, if someone has not spoken bad about you, you're not a good human being. And I like gulped to say, okay, you know. Allahu Akbar. Can you think about it? Anyone from amongst you here, anyone from amongst us, if you have wealth, you have wisdom, you have, you know, something like, say, for example, good looks, a good family, a good social standing, a good financial standing, a decent education, and you're successful in any way, religious or otherwise. You have to have people saying things about you. You have to. And they will be wild swipes. They don't even know your face. And they will swipe so badly. Just thank Allah. Allah says, ignore these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so leave them. For you are not to be blamed. Just leave them. Look at how beautiful a lesson we learn from this. To ignore manure, as we've said in the past. It's a fact. People are not worth even smelling sometimes. Just leave them. Ignore them. You'll miss your taste buds, man. Allahu Akbar. So, yes, if you can, do something about it. Sometimes you don't respond. You know, I have a habit. When someone swipes maliciously, don't even give them attention by replying to them. If you reply them, their intention was never ever to clarify. It was just to swipe. And you're actually smearing all that, whatever it was, all over. That's it. You're smearing it. Come on. You know, they say when there's manure on a fan, you don't turn it on. Astaghfirullah. May Allah forgive us. I tried to use respectable terminology. So, my mothers and sisters, here we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, and remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believers. So, you ignore those statements and you keep on doing positive work. You keep on doing that which is positive. Just ignore them and keep on being the same good person. Don't allow their evil to make you evil. Remember this. What a powerful piece of advice. Allah is saying, don't allow their evil to make you an evil person. Not at all. But rather, ignore them regarding what they're saying. But you keep on reminding beautifully. And those who believe truly will benefit from the reminder. That's the prophetic way. Continue. You continue drawing your straight line. The fact that people are saying your line is crooked, 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 you don't need to turn to them because then it will become crooked. You need to continue with a straight line beautifully. Just continue, mashallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remind. For indeed the reminder benefits the believers. The second part of this verse tells us that if you're a true believer, you will benefit from the reminders of people, where people remind you. And the reminders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely. If you're a true believer, when someone tells you, my sister, you know what, you need to cover up a bit. You won't feel bad and hurt. You'll feel so good. But I hope the person reminding doesn't make a public issue of it in order to insult and disgrace. Rather, it's a beautiful reminder to say, you know what, hey, you know, I care for you and I wouldn't like to see you, you know, book your seat in hellfire, you know, boarding pass, so on, you know, seat number 8A. We won't want to see that. Astaghfirullah. You'd rather just have a first class, business class seat, mashallah, in heaven. Okay, that's one way of talking, but I don't think people understand that language sometimes. So, but the point I'm raising is be good about it. Be decent. Don't doom people. In fact, don't even talk about hellfire. Don't. When I say don't talk about hellfire, I don't mean that we shouldn't be speaking about hellfire generally. But what I mean is don't tell a person, hey, you're going to Jahannam. That's what I mean. You know, we talk about hell in terms of description, like today we're going to be describing because it's in the verses. But it doesn't mean I told you, hey, you're in hell. That's it. You're burning. Can you taste it? Can you feel? Sometimes you feel hot and you've got to use all this, you know, antifreeze and whatever it's called. You know, that's because you're hot. You're burning from... Why use such terminology? Why become so depressing? Why become a person who is so dooming of others or to others? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us encourage one another. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says... And I did not create man, and I did not create the jinn and man except to worship me. That was the purpose of creation. I've given them a 60 to 70 years slot in terms of mankind, and I'd like them in those 60 and 70 years, firstly, to learn how to speak, to learn what to do, to learn how to praise me, to come up, to obey my instruction, to follow the rules and regulations I've laid down, and to hunt for them, to find them, and then to follow them, and then to die, and to come back to me. And I will say, you pass your test. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. You worship me and me alone. No people, no prophets, no saints, no graves, no stones, no sticks, no trees, no relics, nothing. You don't worship things. You worship the deity, him and him alone. That's it. And then you go to paradise. He says in these verses, you do not worship together with Allah. لا تجعلوا مع الله إلها آخر. Never ever render any act of worship to anyone besides Allah. Don't ever make an equal to Allah in any of his names or qualities. If Allah is the knower of the unseen, he is the knower of the unseen. If Allah is the sustainer, he is the sustainer. Nobody else can share exactly and precisely the same level of knowledge or the same level of quality or name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that defeats the entire verse. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There is nothing like or similar unto Allah, equal in any single way whatsoever. This is called tawheed. This is called the oneness of Allah. This is called worshipping Allah and Allah alone. Without, or should I say, without association of any form of partner. to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any of his names or qualities, nothing at all. That's Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he created us so that we worship him, so that we find him. Worshipping here means to follow all the instructions and stay away from prohibitions as best as possible. And wherever we faltered, we seek Allah's forgiveness and we know that we worship him and him alone. Ameen. May Allah make it easy for us. Your entire life and mine is supposed to be governed by the rules and regulations that Allah has stipulated. And guess what? It's only 60 years. After that, you're gone and so am I. And a few of you who might be over 60, don't worry. You're living on borrowed time bonus, mashallah, extra. You know, you can score a goal or two before you go to Allah. And I'm not saying this in a dooming way, but you're going, and so am I. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and make it easy for us the day we go. I think it's going to be the happiest days for the believers, the happiest days. You know, when the angels come to you and say, oh, don't worry, everything's okay, subhanAllah. And you just smile and you're off. And people are saying, before she died, she was smiling. Yeah, because she led a good life. Worry about yourself now. Come on, it's about time you started covering and dressing appropriately and fulfilling your salah and quitting all the sin. And then you will also smile, inshallah, the day you leave. You might even start laughing. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. So we see people and we say, wow, did you see her face? She was so Noor, mashallah. My sister, your name might even be Noor, but the truth is, if you don't lead your life in that way, how do you expect the Noor? We say about other people, but we don't realize what they did in their lives to earn that, and we don't do that. So how are you going to get it if you want it? You don't just look. Allah showed that to you so that you can start working in a similar direction. And I remember one day someone was saying, but this lady was so difficult in her life. I wonder how she ended up smiling at the end. Well, she might have had decent deeds that you don't know about. She must have asked forgiveness towards the end of her life. She might not have been as bad because Allah's the judge, not you, not me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May He grant us goodness and ease. So Allah says, I do not want from them any provision, nor do I want them to feed me. Imagine Allah saying this. And this shows you that, you know, religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, he doesn't ask you money or clothing or food. That would go to other human beings who are less privileged, who do not have much, as a form of worship and as a reaching out to them because they are fellow human beings. So your concern for the rest of the creatures of Allah shows that you are close to Allah. What's my link with the poor man who came saying Idi Balaka yesterday? My link is Allah made me, Allah made him as well. Whoever made me, made him. So did I swear him, scoff at him? No, I didn't. Either I gave him or I just said a good word and turned him away. You know, like I know, I rang the bell at someone's house playing a prank yesterday and I said, Idi Balaka at the gate. So the man says, thank you for greeting me, thank you, now you can go. Now to me, that maybe he had given 20, 30 people already, and now he just was saying goodbye. And later on, subhanAllah, when I laughed at him later on, and he said, I really thought you were one of the guys who comes around door to door. We're not encouraging people to go door to door, but sometimes their desperation makes them do that. It's better than stealing, if you were to ask me. And you know, sometimes you might want to set aside a dollar, perhaps, maybe, 50 cents, you know, if you get a 50 cent coin. But at the same time, you might want to set aside something. You might want to set aside a few slices of bread. I don't think it's going to cost you much. A loaf of bread is about 80 cents, I think, to a dollar. And if you were to have one loaf, you can perhaps get at least 10 people with two slices of bread, mashallah. A little bit of jam, peanut butter, or perhaps, you know, anything in the center, mashallah. And some, you know, maybe juice or something else, cold water, if that may be the case. You know, don't ever get to a person who's asking you for a bit of food and say you're supposed to be fasting the six fasts of Shawwal. May Allah forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and make it easy for us to fast these six fasts. They're not easy. Trust me, once you've fasted the whole month and, you know, sometimes you have a few fasts to catch up and so on, it becomes a little bit difficult to fast the six fasts. Remember, first you make up your missed fasts and then inshallah you go on to the six fasts of Shawwal. And by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't have the intention of losing weight, but inshallah you may lose it as in the process. The intention is to please Allah. And the intention is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, indeed, it is Allah who is the continual provider, the firm possessor of strength. Allah, the continual provider. Allah is the sustainer. He gives you. He doesn't ask from you. So when Allah gives you 100 million, for example, Zimbabwe dollars, He asks you for 2.5%. Not for himself. Never ever does he say, okay, you know what, this is for me. No, this is actually for the cause of Allah. But it's to test you to say, look, he gave you everything in the first place. You just give back so much. Imagine when someone gives you a big $100 bill and they say, look, yours. Listen to this example because it's very good. If someone gives you a $100 bill and tells you, look, I don't have change, but yours is 97.5, mine is 2.5. So give me as soon as you get your change. And then you just take the $100 bill and pretend like, ah, that's okay, that's mine, you know. No. For every $100 Allah gives you, he tells you, listen, the $100 is yours, but 2.5 is mine, meaning 97.5 is yours, and the 2.5 is mine. So as soon as you can, you break that note and you give out for Allah, because it never belonged to you in the first place. It might have came via you, but that's Allah's. He gave it to you in the first place. So this is a similarity of zakah. People feel guilty, but I got all this gold. If I'm supposed to give you 2.5% of it every year, by the time a few years pass down, I won't have any gold left. No, you will, because you get to a certain point known as nisab, beyond which you won't have to give. May Allah forgive us. And you're lucky if your husband gives on your behalf. Very fortunate. Keep him, please. Make dua for him. So my mothers and sisters, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, he is the provider. He gives. When you give for his cause, he's going to give you more. There's a hadith which says, never ever has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depleted somebody's wealth because they were charitable. When you're charitable, you actually get more, much more. But you have to give. That's it. You have to learn to give. Don't be miserly. Don't stick to your stuff. Like that's it. You know, sentimental value. Sentimental value. Subhanallah, you've got 200 pairs of clothes. Sentimental value? Allahu Akbar. That's dollar mental value, because it's far more than cents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Learn to give it away. Open your closet. What you loved. Yes, you were married in that bridal suit. You're never going to fit in it again. Don't worry. Mashallah. You've given birth to how many children, mashallah? You can give it away. You make somebody else's day, mashallah. And tell them that 10 years from now, you're not going to fit in it, my dear. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. But you know, wallahi, people keep things. They look at it now and again and say, inshallah, one day, inshallah, one day what? I hope it's one day you're going to give it away. Not one day I'm going to fit in it again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and good health. Ameen. So my mothers and sisters, Allah's telling you, he is the provider. Learn to give for the sake of Allah. Learn to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of the times, it's only the excess stuff that we keep. You know, if you buy a new apparatus for your kitchen, give away the old one. Before you take out the new one, or as you're taking it out, give away the old one. Don't be from among those who wants to keep. No, this one was a really good one. So what? Give it away. Your cupboards, your closets. We have so much and we continue dumping and keeping. The happiest people are those who've decluttered. Wallahi. When you open your cupboard and you just see a few pairs of clothes and that's it, you are the happiest of people. And the most depressed are those who are crying for cupboard space even though they've got 50 cupboards in their homes. Allahu Akbar. But what happened? We put up so many cupboards here. They're all full. Yeah, they're full. It was not, but come on, subhanallah. May Allah forgive us. Declutter, declutter. Wallahi, I'm asking you to look into your cupboards and to declutter. For the sake of Allah, as well as on top of that, your own sanity and goodness and happiness and contentment. You'll be so, so happy. You know, Allahu Akbar. You know, I recall one day somebody donated something, okay? So they gave a piece of clothing, and it so happened that the person who was donated that piece of clothing happened to see them somewhere, okay? So the sister happened to stop this other person and say, oh, I just need to see what you're wearing. It's so nice, and it's so good, and so this, and so that, and you know? And later on, I get a phone call saying, did you give this to... I said, look, I don't know what happened to it. I didn't even distribute it myself. I just put it where it's supposed to go in order for it to be distributed. And I think I saw someone wearing it and I almost wanted to cry. Allahu Akbar. May Allah forgive us. Imagine how connected we become to stuff that even after we've donated it, we still feel, oh, I would have looked nice in this. May Allah forgive us. My mothers and sisters, learn to give things away. Wallahi. Imagine if you die and you were allowed to open your eyes for a minute and you see what happened to all your stuff. You'd probably want to come back to earth to take it back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us really. So Allah says, and indeed for those who have wronged is a portion of the punishment, like the portion of the companions or the predecessors. So let them not impatiently urge me. Allah says, those who have gone wrong, those who have become evil, they will taste the punishment just like the people before them tasted the punishment when they became evil. So Allah says, let them not impatiently urge me. I will do it. I don't need to be told when. I know when I'm going to punish people. When Allah knows that you are going to turn, He won't punish you. But when He knows you're not going to turn, He probably will. Then He says, and woe to those who have disbelieved from their day, which they are promised. Which means the day of judgment and the hereafter, there are people who have disbelieved in all this. So woe to them, destruction to them. They're going to be really, really sad the day they see that it was all the truth. This is a severe warning for those who don't believe in the hereafter. For those who think that we're just here to enjoy and amuse ourselves. That's it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Okay, we now move on to the next surah. And I just want to warn myself and yourselves that the opening verses are very, very scary. Very, very scary. When I say scary, I mean they bring about reality of hellfire. So let's listen to them. Allah takes several oaths. Now, taking an oath for us, we're only allowed to take an oath with Allah, His names or His qualities, nothing else. We're never allowed to swear an oath by people, by creatures and so on. Only Allah, His names and qualities. That's it. مَنْ كَانَ حَالِفًا فَلْيَحْلِفْ بِاللَّهِ. Whoever wants to take an oath should only take an oath in the name of Allah. Allah, which means His names and qualities. But Allah Himself takes an oath with a lot of things that He has created, because He is the Creator. In order to draw our attention to the greatness of certain items and the seriousness of it, He takes an oath by those items, and He is the only one allowed to take such an oath. So Allah says, وَالطُّور. Indeed, I swear by the mount. At-Tur is the mount, you know, the mount of Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him. Wa kitabim mastur. And I swear, or an oath by a book inscribed. Kitabim mastur. The book inscribed here, as in the preserved tablet, or the Quran. Allah says, I swear by At-Tur, and I swear by the book that has been inscribed. In parchment spread open. This is a description of the book, right? And I swear by the frequented house. The frequented house, what is it? The house of worship for the angels is known as Al-Baytul Ma'mur in the seventh heaven. Comparable to the Kaaba on earth, they are also making tawaf there. Very, very high, seven heavens above. It's called Al-Baytul Ma'mur, which means the frequented house. It's the place of worship of the angels, like unto the Kaaba. So we engage in tawaf here, they engage in tawaf up there. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears an oath by the frequented house and by the ceiling raised high. Allah is swearing an oath by the ceiling raised high, referring to the heavens, the skies, and so on. Allah says, and by the sea set on fire. What is the sea set on fire? On the day of resurrection, the sea will be on fire. Imagine, water will be on fire. Allahu Akbar. Then Allah says, after He speaks about the sea being set on fire and Him swearing an oath by it, indeed the punishment of your Lord will definitely occur. The severe punishment of your Lord will definitely occur. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعٌ. Indeed, the punishment of your Lord will definitely occur. مَا لَهُ مِنْ دَافِعٍ. There is no preventer of that punishment. Nobody will be able to prevent the punishment of your Lord. On the day the heaven will sway with circular motion. You know, everything is going to go, according to us, AWOL. But it's the creation of Allah, following the instruction of Allah. It will stop and it will do whatever Allah wants it to do. So Allah says, the heavens will sway with circular motion and the mountains will pass on departing. The mountains will actually be completely destroyed and they will move like clouds. They will be, you know, they say at a certain boiling point, everything boils. Everything actually becomes from solid to liquid, from liquid to gas, right? But the boiling point is different. Some 100 degrees, some 1,000, some 1,000,000 and so on. It depends. So basically, whatever the boiling point is, it's going to be completely destroyed and it's going to move like smoke in the skies, like clouds. Allah says, that's the mountains. The mountains will be destroyed. So here Allah says, the mountains will pass on departing. Then woe on that day to the deniers. Those who used to deny the day, they will be thoroughly punished. Those who are in empty discourse, amusing themselves. Those who are just talking for nothing, just amusing themselves, pastime, doing things that don't help them and benefit them in any way. Those who've lost focus of the day they're going to die. Those who've lost focus of Allah. Those who've lost focus of their Creator and the fact that they're only here for a short period of time. Those who've lost focus of heaven and hell. Those who've lost focus of the final day and accountability. Do you know what Allah says? The day they are thrust towards the fire of hell with a violent thrust, its angels will say, "This is the fire which you used to deny. Now taste it." And they used to say it was magic, and they used to say he was a madman. So the question comes, then is this magic? Or do you not see? You know, people used to say this is magic, but then you start feeling that it's burning. What type of magic is that? Allah says, is this magic? This is the fire you used to deny. Now, is this magic? You used to call him a magician and you used to say whatever he's brought about is magic. Is this magic? Or do you not see? So Allah says, they will be told, enter to burn therein. Then be patient or impatient. It is all the same for you. You are only being recompensed for the evil deeds that you used to do. Allahu Akbar. Now, my mothers and sisters, don't we feel so, so frightened? May Allah never, ever do that to us. But you know what? He is the most merciful. He is the owner of mercy. And this is the reason why I continued reading the verses and continued. And some of you might have thought, why did he start Surah At-Tur already? And I started it and I continued and I didn't stop until I got to verses, because I know the system of Allah in the Quran. Whenever he speaks of punishment and he speaks of how burning it is and how severe it is and how people will be thrown into hellfire and cast into it and nobody will be able to help them, he then says, well, the believers will get paradise and the believers will be in beautiful springs and they will enjoy and we will forgive their shortcomings because they worshipped none but us. They tried. They might have had their weaknesses, but they tried to come close to us. They sought forgiveness and they were decent people who continued coming closer and closer to us. So as a result, we will give them gardens of paradise with beautiful greenery and beautiful scenery, and that which has rivers flowing of fruit juice and milk and honey and water and so many other things. Whatever they desire will be theirs. They will be the happiest of the lot. So that's what Allah says in a nutshell, verse number 17. Indeed, the righteous will be in gardens and pleasure. They will be pleased. They will be happy. They will be enjoying. Enjoying what their Lord has given them, and their Lord protected them from the punishment of hellfire. May Allah protect us all from the punishment of hellfire. You know, something that brings about a lot of comfort for me in person, and I'm sure it would for all of us, is, you know, the magicians who were trying their tricks with the Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him, and they asked the Pharaoh for some money if they won that particular magical race. They put out their ropes and sticks and they turned into snakes and serpents. And when Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him, put out his stick, it became a big snake and it ate up everything that they had made. So as a result, they prostrated to Allah, one prostration. Later on, they were harmed, executed and persecuted and executed by the Pharaoh. One prostration and Allah forgave them and granted them paradise. How many times have you prostrated for Allah? And I? More than once. I've actually lost count. So if Allah accepted one prostration from them and gave them paradise as a result, I hope and pray that He can accept from us at least one and also grant us paradise. The only condition is, don't associate partners with Allah between now and then. Never ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us render acts of worship for Him and to Him alone. And these acts of worship need to be in conformity with what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought and taught. I mean, then Allah says, enjoying what their Lord has given them, and their Lord protected them from the punishment of hellfire. Eat and drink in satisfaction for what you used to do. They will be reclining on thrones, lined up, and will marry. And we will marry them to the women with beautiful eyes. Here referring to the hoor of Jannah, starting with your own spouse. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. So you have your spouse will be exactly in accordance to your liking. And this is both male and female. If you have a husband, MashaAllah, he will be to the shape, the size, the complexion, the thinking, the ability, the hair, the nose, the mouth, the feet. Everything will be exactly as you want, MashaAllah. Even the way he talks and walks and absolutely everything. You'll be so proud of this guy. Woo, mashallah, you know, alhamdulillah. And you won't want to replace him at all, mashallah. That's why I said, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. People say, will I be with him in heaven? Oh, that's going to be hell, man. But what we do know is that he will be exactly as you want. And you will be exactly as he wants. And guess what's the unique thing? Is if you wanted to look something and he wanted you to look something, to him you will look like something, and to yourself you will look like something else. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. So basically, it's mind-boggling. I always say, just get there. And you know what? You will be pleasantly surprised. Just get there. But in order to get there, start dressing properly, start reading your salah, stop associating partners with Allah, start paying up your zakah, you know, learn to do things for the sake of Allah and so on. We spoke about so many things, mashallah. We need to start heading in that direction and say, oh Allah, grant me jannah. And when you get there, subhanallah, you will be the happiest person ever, 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 ever. May Allah grant us jannah. 45 minutes are up, my mothers and sisters. We started off a little bit late today. So inshallah, we stop at that particular verse. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.